Welcome back to the eLearning Champion Pod, the eLearning Champions podcast from Comlab India. I'm Swapna, Content Manager at Comlab India, and I'll be your host for this podcast. We have been receiving amazing responses for our previous episodes. Thank you so much for your appreciation. And keeping that in mind, we are back with a new podcast today. Before we begin, if this is your first time tuning in, welcome again. This is the eLearning Champion Pod, your home to everything eLearning. Here, we discuss the ins and outs of eLearning, learning technologies, and eLearning trends around the corporate training landscape. Your success matters to us, and that's why we bring you what matters to you. Today's podcast is on ChatGPT and rapid eLearning accelerators and its implications for modern L&D teams. The speed of business and advances in technology just keeps getting faster. Meanwhile, the demands for rapid development are dramatically intensifying. The challenge for L&D teams is to keep pace and continue to produce high-quality, engaging e-learning experiences. Should we rush to adopt the latest softwares and platforms, or should we modify our development process? To answer these burning questions and to explore options and insights into how we can appropriately leverage these AI tools and process accelerators to meet the needs of our stakeholders, we have Shalini Merugu joining us back for this podcast. Shalini Merugu is the Director for Learning Solutions, Comlab India. She's a versatile learning design professional with 18 plus years of diverse experience in instructional design, learner and user assistance solutions, and designing and delivering customer training. She is passionate about working with customers in developing performance-enhancing learning experiences that achieve measurable business results. This includes analyzing customers' training needs, developing actionable roadmaps tailored to each client's unique requirements, and creative strategies to maximize learning. She leverages the strengths of various modalities to design effective rapid e-learning, blended solutions, and performance support materials. Shalini conducts customer education workshops both in person and virtual globally. Welcome back, Shalini. It's great to have you again.
Thank you so much, Swapna. It's a pleasure to be back again and welcome everyone. I'm really excited to spend some time with you here today to discuss ChatGPT because it's such an interesting topic. And I also wanted to broaden that a little bit to think not just about generative AI like ChatGPT, but also rapid e-learning accelerators. And as Swapna mentioned, what are the implications for those of us here in L&D from different roles, but really raring to explore the possibilities with these tools? Because these, at the end of the day, are tools that will help us in our jobs, and we can consider how we can accelerate the impact that we make in our organization and for our stakeholders. So we'll be looking at rapid e-learning accelerators, methods to speed up creating online learning like e-learning and microlearning. When stakeholders ask about quick e-learning design, what comes to mind? So it's about being fast, relevant, and delivering information in small, easy to grasp bits for quick learning impact, while also moving swiftly, maintaining high quality, and staying learner-centric are essential. Efficiency matters, making sure that what we create is genuine and accurate. So these are some of the other things that we need to keep in mind. So when we say fast development, we explore quick learning approaches like microlearning. We prioritize information. We look at flexibility and efficiency, and how do we make our approach adaptable, and how do we collaborate with others for rapid course development? So it's really all about teaming up to create content fast while ensuring it's of high quality. And as with anything else today, adaptability is key. So these aspects are vital when aiming for swift and effective e-learning development. With that as the backdrop to our podcast today, let's look at how do we incorporate the kinds of technology that will help us accelerate our process. We look at ChatGPT, of course. Then we look at an agile rapid development framework to help us think and consider how we can deliver. And then we'll also look at very specific accelerators, tools, and techniques. What are the kinds of things that we can use to help us move things forward quickly?
Right. And to help address these challenges, AI tools and rapid e-learning accelerators are a must-have. And I think it's worth diving into the details of what ChatGPT can do because it is such an exciting and rapidly emerging technology today.
Right. So when it comes to these tools, we can leverage something like a SWOT analysis, where we consider what are the strengths, what are the weaknesses, what are the opportunities with that technology, and what are the threats that might, you know, arise as a result of using a particular tool.
Amazing. SWOT analysis sounds good, Shalini. So from your perspective, what are the strengths of ChatGPT?
Right. So let's chat about ChatGPT and what it's good at and where it might fall short.
Right.
So one of the biggest things to keep in mind is who owns the copyrights and what about plagiarism? Is the info it gives us up to date and reliable? It's handy for speeding up work and accessing a bunch of information, but what about accuracy? What about bias, especially when we are digging deep into specific industries? So accuracy and bias really are on our radar. We need to look at the weaknesses and the strengths in proportion. So ChatGPT can give us a deep dive, but it might struggle in certain areas. And the lack of citations can make any of us a bit uneasy. Also, we need to be ready for vague or tricky responses that could shake the credibility of the information. And before we really adopt any tool, you know, we need to compare it with other comparable tools. So in the case of ChatGPT, you know, we have something as simple as Google. Of course, there are its other competitors. ChatGPT has other similar applications which are being used. But what about things like Google Search and Google Scholar? Who owns the work? How do we protect it? So figuring out the intellectual property really is key. And then understanding the concerns and limits is crucial. So we need to really explore how to use ChatGPT responsibly while making sure we're not crossing any lines and making the most of what it offers. So in a nutshell, I think ChatGPT brings some very cool stuff to the table, but we've got to be smart about how we use it.
Right. Couldn't agree more, Shalini. That's so true. Let's dive in and see how it can play a role in our toolkit. So in your perspective, what kind of opportunities do you see in L&D in particular?
Well, it starts right from understanding topics, writing scripts, shaking up content. There's a lot to explore. And the first step of content curation, we can get creative with even the course outlines, the glossaries, breaking down long text into smaller bits. And ChatGPT can also help us whip up quiz questions, handle subject matter expert content, and in many cases also beat writer's block. So we can use ChatGPT to jazz up our script writing, throw together questions, give concise summaries, and frame objectives, learning objectives. And we can also adapt this content that we have, the core content that we have, and save time because we don't have to rewrite the entire thing to make it suitable for different audiences. We can play around with this content. We can change sentences and save some time. We can change the tone. Now, since it gives us the lowdown on concepts, it really acts like a thinking buddy and helps explain tricky stuff in as simple language as you want it to. And also, it's handy for making notes on complex topics. And not just the content part of it, not just the text part of it, but, you know, we can also have suggestions for workflows. And it's perfect for sketching outlines. And also, this is something I'd like to add here, phrasing content for second language learners. Because sometimes, you know, we really do need to be very careful that we don't use very idiomatic language for learners who are not very comfortable in the primary language. So this is where we can give certain prompts to ChatGPT to make sure that the content it gives us is very apt for a given audience. And then, of course, you know, speeding up design and development, that's one of the biggest opportunities for L&D, because, you know, it can really give a boost to our design game. It's not just a tool, you know, it can almost be viewed as a secret weapon for brainstorming scenarios, tackling case studies, and making instructional design way more fun. So in fact, you know, thinking of ChatGPT as a brainstorming tool opens up a lot of opportunities. It can spark some critical thinking. But of course, we need to be able to use it to dig deeper and expand our perspectives while being aware of the limitations and potential hiccups. So there are a lot of opportunities. And of course, there are some challenges that might pop up. And that's where, you know, it's good to be aware of the limitations as well as the strengths of this tool.
Right. As you said, Charlotte, the secret weapon, the generative AI system, can create new content in the forms of images, text, audios, and more. And we're also seeing virtual avatars, you know, they're serving as mentors and guides. And now we are also seeing how AI voiceovers are getting more authentic. So these technological advances, along with the best practices to accelerate e-learning development, can significantly increase how quickly we can make an impact in performance. But all said and done, my question is, what would you say are some of the threats around ChatGPT?
Right. You know, as with any other tool, it's very crucial to first assess the potential threats while we are also aware of the opportunities that it brings to the table. And it's important to, you know, kind of maintain a balanced perspective. So the first concern or the first thing that we need to be aware of is the security and confidentiality part of it. Because, you know, ensuring the security and confidentiality of information is really paramount. Now, how do we handle proprietary data within the ChatGPT environment? That's something we need to think about. And then the next one is reliability and validity. These are critical considerations when it comes to any kind of content. So how do we preserve these standards while harnessing the capabilities of ChatGPT? And then we come to originality and academic integrity. When generating content, any content really, a question of originality arises. So how does ChatGPT impact academic integrity, especially in scenarios, you know, where there could be plagiarism concerns? And then, of course, there are other threats to do with cybersecurity and misinformation. How do we prevent over-reliance on ChatGPT and safeguard against such potential concerns? Now, one thing that, you know, I think a lot of us also probably have been thinking about is, how does, you know, having access to a tool like this impact our own thinking skills? So it the integration of ChatGPT really raises questions about its impact on our cognitive processes. How does it influence our own cognitive processes and our own paradigms? And in some instances, does it develop in us an overdependency on such tools? So that is something we need to be on the alert for, and make sure that, you know, we don't lose the human part of the design and development. And then, I think I mentioned the accuracy and reliability of information collected using ChatGPT. That, of course, could be a concern. Yes. Now, that could be mitigated by triangulating the findings. You know, you need to triangulate the findings from various sources. So the question is, how do we balance insights from ChatGPT with traditional methods like our own research and subject matter expert consultations and fact checking and validation? So it's our responsibility to validate the information collected from ChatGPT to ensure that it is accurate. And another thing is, where maintaining a healthy relationships with stakeholders is key, as every L&D professional knows. Now, when we are using tools like ChatGPT, how do we address inquiries about the origin and credibility of information sourced through such tools? And yes, conducting a SWOT analysis is really essential because I think every team needs to be very aware of this, the doing this kind of an analysis when integrating tools like ChatGPT. And well, as ChatGPT gains momentum, I think what is important for us is to recognize that it's not a static solution. And the conversation around its integration requires continuous evaluation of the output, stakeholder engagement, and a proactive approach to navigating actually not just ChatGPT, but this entire landscape of AI tools.
So right, Shalini. You know, from simple to use tools to AI-powered tools, today's L&D teams and organizations both are investing in tools that reduce human effort, you know, saving them both time and cost. So I just want to ask you here, Shalini, are there other AI tools that you're currently using or you plan to use soon in support of our L&D functions?
Right. I think in some of our previous podcasts, we had touched upon some of the AI-powered, AI-driven tools. But yes, for those of our listeners who are here for the first time, of course, we began with ChatGPT, which is a generative AI platform that really kind of was a game changer. And it is easy to use despite its limitations. And I think, you know, on the ground, a lot of us used it to tweak our content to come up with scenarios for all those learning interventions which work best with a scenario-driven approach and so on. And then, of course, as I mentioned, there are the counterparts to ChatGPT, which are equally powerful. Now, when it comes to graphics, we have Midjourney, which creates graphics with custom prompts. So the key here, as is the case with any AI tool, lies in the kind of prompts we use, whether we are using it for content or whether we are using it for graphics. The output is only as good as the input. And the input is where I think we all have played around with various prompts and we have figured what works. And then we have Canva, creating graphics with custom prompts. Stability AI, which generates and edits images, creates textures, generates videos. And then, as you mentioned earlier, Swapna, avatar-based AI videos, the talking yes. heads. And Synthesia has come up with a wider variety of these avatars that are available. And so has Vyond, which again is a hot favorite among many for many reasons. So not just does it generate scripts, but also the videos. And then when it comes to assessments, we have QuizBot, a powerful AI-driven tool to generate assessments and create custom quizzes. And so if we are sure of what our learning objectives are, if we are sure of what our content is aligned to those learning objectives, this is where we can come up with you know, a meaningful, relevant assessments at whatever Bloom's level we have decided on at the beginning of the initiative. So this is not to say that AI is replacing the role of the instructional designers or the L&D professionals, but we can leverage them because they bring in process efficiencies. And, you know, we can recover our investment in a far quicker time than if we were just going about it the traditional way. Anyway, coming back to the tools, we have PrepAI to generate online quizzes and Dectopus, which comes up with amazing presentations based on the prompts that we feed in. And then we have other tools like Repurpose.io, which actually even repurposes content for social media. So you have your posts, you have your, you know, right from the teasers, the hashtags. So we can leverage that very powerfully. And one aspect of, you know, this our L&D initiatives is creating learning content that is relevant and impactful and achieves the intended results. The other part is making sure that learners adopt this content. And this is where I think all of us as L&D professionals can leverage tools like this to create the buzz, you know, to publicize an upcoming training, create short videos which build up the momentum and the excitement before the actual training intervention starts. So, I'd like to say that this is by no means an exhaustive list because, you know, there are a lot of tools out there. There are great examples, great tools out there. But what we need to keep in mind is that we have to be very intentional. We have to be thoughtful in the way in which we use these tools, and we can take advantage of them to really accelerate our process. So let me spend a few minutes to see how we can really frame that up, you know, when it comes to our agile rapid development. How can we really bring our process into focus? So basically, I'd like to start with, you know, the opportunity that came about in the first place. Now, that came about as a result of a request from a stakeholder, or we have probably uncovered the opportunity just through our ongoing monitoring and analysis of our learners' needs. But that opportunity generates a discussion, and it's in the questions that we ask upfront that, you know, we really can accelerate our design and development process. And as quickly as we gather that information, we should be creating solutions so that we are making an impact as quickly as possible. So I think one key metric is speed to impact. You know, how quickly can we make an impact for our stakeholders? If we can have a conversation with them in the morning, ask some really good questions, and then generate our first deliverable or the blueprint of it or a prototype, and then send it out that afternoon, then we are really making an impact for that stakeholder. And they're going to be like, great, what else can we do? What's next? Yes. So the idea is to cycle through this agile rapid process as quickly as possible so that we're asking questions and then we're able to generate a solution. We're able to ask more questions, generate another solutions. And we always want to be thinking about an array of deliverables in terms of how we help people perform. And in fact, that's something that I'm going to talk about in a little more detail.
Sure.
So one thing that we need to keep in mind is we want to be very clear about the desired results. So what drives performance of the organization? And we must make sure we are carefully aligned with that. You know, when somebody says, for instance, hey, we need to reduce the number of errors, we need to increase the volume of sales, or whatever the, you know, intended results are, mm-hmm. we need to drill down and say, what do people have to do in order to be able to generate those results? That's our desired performance, which will lead to what they're doing today. And what they're doing today is actually what is generating the actual results. So as we look at our performance analysis and we are asking questions upfront in that discussion, we need to focus on what would people need to be able to do to reduce the number of errors. So these are the kind of conversations we need to be having with our stakeholders. And then when we look at the gaps, you know, where we are and we want the learners to be, and then we are looking for those opportunities to address them. And so the idea is that, you know, we've got to align with those desired results so that we are making that quick impact. Another important thing is that in the upfront discussion is to be very clear about the nature of the content we're dealing with. You know, we have all kinds of content, facts, concepts, principles, procedures, processes.
Yes.
And in asking questions up front, we need to be clear about what is the kind of content we are dealing with. Is it a process? You know, do they do it exactly the same way every single time, not skipping any steps? Maybe there's some branching, but, you know, there's a procedure and we teach procedures differently than we teach processes. So upfront in that discussion, we need to get very clear about the type of content and what drives our creativity and what we are able to build in terms of learning solutions to help them learn and perform. So these are, I would certainly like to call them accelerators, because these are the things that are going to help us get our results quickly. These kind of conversations, these kind of discussions around these key areas. And we can also upfront in the discussion with our stakeholders, really focus on the nature of the tasks so that we know what kind of content we're dealing with. We've aligned with the business and now we need to know the nature of the task for that individual. How frequently do they perform it? How important is it? So what are the particular tasks relevant to all of their responsibilities? How hard or easy is it to learn to do that and to perform? And what is the risk associated with not performing it to the standard? So, you know, we need to ask these questions to our subject matter experts. So also the frequency with which those tasks are done, how often do they do it? Is it every day or is it only once a month or once a year? So getting insights into how that task is performed, how it fits in with their responsibilities, will help us to design and develop appropriately and create those experiences at the individual level. And, having these kind of conversations upfront will prevent a lot of rework later and also help us ensure that we are hitting our target. You know, we are really achieving the results through training that we intended to achieve.
Yes.
So that is something that we need to focus on. And of course, when we look at all these elements, there are other accelerators that we can use when we are talking to stakeholders upfront, questions that we need to be asking in that discussion. So we are always having to think about what we are building. And as we build it, we've got to implement, and hopefully we pay attention to, things also from an evaluation standpoint to see how well it's doing and how effective it is so that we can make adjustments accordingly. So the common question is, how do we cycle through all of this quickly? You know, asking about the existing content, what's effective, what should we do more of, what should we do less of, taking advantage of any evaluation data. So some of the techniques, we need to focus, as I said before, we really have to be very intentional and deliberate at the very beginning. Now, when we know what the end goal is, then we can start with the desired results and align our efforts directly. Now, some of the accelerators that we can find super helpful, is probably to have an intake form. It could just be a simple set of 3 questions. It could even be more questions, but the idea is that we can quickly gather the information that we need to make good decisions for the design and development of these solutions. And, we can then scale up. We can start with something simple like an infographic, then we can move to another type of solution. We can build on it. So what does that look like? So we need to have that blueprint laid out at the beginning before really diving into the execution. So these are some very helpful accelerators, having this upfront questioning and good discussion to help us really dive into the implementation. And also, I want to share some of these creation types of accelerators as well. Those were really what I shared earlier, were really more to do with the process and and what they may look like. Now, when it comes to the creation types of accelerators, to look at what we are creating, I think it's very valuable to think micro. What are some instant things that we can do quickly within hours and days to start making an impact? Then we can expand into something more broad, more macro, and probably look at a blend, because blended solutions are really very effective. And we also need to start, the advantage with micro is we can also start thinking of how do we use these micro pieces to help our learners reinforce the learning. And, refresher and reinforcement, these are critical. So we would like, ideally, we should be including all these in the array of solutions that we generate.
Right. That was super helpful, Shalini, the details that you've provided. And because we are tending to work uphill a little, there's still a lot of expectations and perceptions around how training should be approached. But, historically, it was all classroom-based. Right. And thankfully, now we've got lots of tools, AI tools and platforms that we can leverage and to be able to start to blend. And another challenge that you mentioned is definitely just too much information, right? You mentioned earlier curating information is so critical, and that the idea is that we need to make sure that we are building things in those small chunks that you talked about, right?
Right, right. And of course, one thing we need to keep in mind is one size doesn't fit all. We all have different levels of knowledge and experience when it comes to our learner group. So how do we configure our array of solutions to accommodate those differences rather than just providing one standard off-the-shelf kind of a solution? So, if you have one block, it's kind of hard to build. For example, it's a 5-day classroom. It's a 1-day mm-hmm. class. And then we try to convert it to a 2-hour e-learning. Now, it's going to be really tough if you just look at it as one big block. It's different. It's very difficult to create different learning experiences and to get it more personalized and learner-centric. I think it would be very useful to have a set of blocks which we can configure into different experiences. So think about it as little Lego pieces, and the smaller the object that we create, meaning breaking it down into those small pieces, the smaller pieces we have, the more we can bundle them in different ways for different people and different audiences. And then, of course, we can use the learning journey. We know that learning takes place across a journey, and that there are different experiences, from demonstrating and role modeling to practice with coaching and feedback, all of these things. You know, even the ongoing performance coaching are important, because we can look at these individual elements and then we can start creating solutions to make an impact throughout the learning journey. So, for instance, what can I do to create awareness? What can I do to help my learners remember, you know, the knowledge, the skills that they're using? What can I do to help them adjust and apply and these to the job? So I think when we consider a journey, it's always helpful to separate out the learning experiences and then align our array of solutions to help people accelerate their learning down the road. You know, the as I mentioned earlier, the refresher, the reinforcement, and the notion of spaced retrieval practice that we've got to do more of, so that people don't slip down the forgetting curve. So there are great and creative ways that we can help people refresh their learning and, you know, make sure that we hit those desired results. So, you know, I'd like to just expand on this a little. When you look at practice, this is a quick example I'd like to share. If we start with the lowest common denominator, you know, for example, if we are talking about a product or a service, what are the features and benefits and the capabilities that it offers? That's something we can capture quickly, right? And maybe ChatGPT could help us, or maybe some other platform could help us generate some of that base knowledge. Of course, we've got to validate it, but then we can share that even as an infographic or a quick reference tool. We can then start to record that in a way so that we have an audio asset that our learners can take advantage of. And then we can create good examples, bad examples, and really help challenge people in their thinking and learning. And we could then proceed into, you know, putting them into a scenario-based learning experience. We have activities with embedded decision gates and great teaching feedback. And we can distribute all of these in a variety of different ways now and make sure that people have access to it when they need it, just in time. And not only this, but, you know, we can also look at the overall learning landscape, the social learning, the community of practice, the internal channels, the external channels. So when we target the need from all angles, then we notice, we can see that, you know, there would be a visible impact. And just because we're talking about all of these multiple angles doesn't mean that all of them are time consuming and tedious. As I just shared in my example, it's very easy and to quickly repurpose content into the format we want, repurpose bits of it, not just for the teaching part of it, but also for the reinforcement part of it.
Right. So can you highlight different ways in which we can think about rapid development? I mean, some more accelerators, if you can elaborate on. As you said, the idea is to cycle through quickly to make an impact as soon as possible. But how quickly do you think we can cycle and execute?
Right. That's a good question, Swapna. And I'd just like to highlight some of these other accelerators. You know, we have the option of redesigning, in the sense we can look at existing training. Historically, this is probably instructor-led classroom training. So how do we take that and pull it apart? You know, maybe we can just come up with a quick checklist to help us accelerate through the design. And then we repurpose this content with technology, and we take advantage of some of our rapid development tools to break this content, reconfigure it, and then deliver it in different formats. And then when we look at recording, you know, redesign is one part, and then recording is another part. Now that some of the AI tools are really becoming good, so good right now in terms of capture, we can do that through different devices. We can use different technology. So we can create content and move it into the required audio, audio format for delivery and have MP4 videos with the content also designed on screen. And, you know, we can rebuild those bigger presentations by dividing them into smaller videos and training programs. So we need to be constantly thinking about how do we break this into doable nuggets for the learners? How do we make sure that we're offering them that required spaced retrieval practice? You know, follow up a learning nugget, a micro learning with a fun challenge 30 days later. And then after 60 days, have another input going in so that the learning constantly stays fresh. And all of these things do not require a great deal of effort. It's just, you know, how do we take these smaller pieces and then take advantage of technology to help us generate this content more efficiently? And then, of course, you know, we can republish this content, older content that we have, useful content that's probably, which I'm sure all organizations have, which we can make mobile friendly. So we can publish this through, we can make sure that our learners can access this through different devices, different browsers. And then we can also take advantage of translations, use closed captioning, full translations, different approaches here. But the idea is to take existing content and then configure it in such a way that people can come in and take what they need, when they need it, and then go and perform.
Yes. I mean, thank you for those insights, Shalini. It's pretty, you know, relatable. And I'm sure it's got our listeners thinking about some of those possibilities with the AI systems and the platforms, like you mentioned, ChatGPT and other AI tools. And my question now is, how do we really look at these tools to help us accelerate a process while still providing the desired results?
Yeah, so, there are tremendous possibilities, but the starting point would be to be intentional, thoughtful, and careful in how we use information collected from any source. And that's really the baseline. And then, of course, leveraging all those other things that I spoke about. You know, we can accelerate our process by asking the right kind of questions upfront, having those conversations, making sure we are aligned with the desired results, making sure that we deal with the content as the content demands, not with our own ideas that we are force fitting onto the content, but starting with the content first. So these are some things that, you know, we really, these are part of any robust instructional design process. And just because we are using AI doesn't do away with the need for robust instructional design in the first place. So everything that we do, whether or not we are using AI, really does depend on our capability as, instructional designers, as graphic designers, as creators of learning experiences. And the good news is that, you know, to help us reach the time to proficiency, the speed of impact, to really cut short to the time it takes for us to roll out these, we have all of these tools, which we just looked at, including ChatGPT. So I think we are in the best of times. We have access to technology that was unheard of, you know, just a few years back. We wouldn't have imagined how drastically it could change the landscape. And I think the onus really is on us to be aware of what are the tools out there. And as I mentioned earlier, do a SWOT analysis of these tools and see what works for us best.
Perfect. So perfectly put it, Shalini. And thank you so much. And I'm wishing our listeners the best with design and development, especially around fun e-learning and micro-learning opportunities. And while being careful out there, let's take advantage of these AI tools. And thank you for taking the time out and speaking with us today, Shalini.
Thank you.
Yeah, we look forward to having you again in the future. Thank you so much. And dear listeners, thank you all for listening to us so patiently, and I hope it was beneficial for you too. To learn more about today's topic, visit our website. And if you've enjoyed this episode, let us know. Leave a review or comment whenever you listen to our podcast. We love hearing from you. If you have feedback about this episode or would like to suggest a topic for a future episode, email us or visit the contact us page at comlabindia.com. Also, for more information on relevant topics in the L&D domain, join us for our virtual event, LearnFlux. You can find the details on our website. Thank you for listening to the eLearning Champions podcast. That's all for today's episode. See you next time.